Welcome to the Tech Side of Life. My name is Femi Greater Heights, and we are still talking about VPN, Virtual Private Network. Now, I'm going to go into the economic and the global impact of VPN, but we wouldn't have this conversation in the rosy part without referring to the year 2020 in the wake of COVID-19, and that really opened up the market. The global virtual private network market was valued at just around $25.41 billion in 2019, but it is projected to reach about $76 billion by 2027. That is because of a 14.7% rise from 2020, which is going to span to 2027. VPN used to be something that was only known to the technical guys, those in network security, IT infrastructure, server management. But now, the commercial users of VPN is growing at an alarming rate. Now, top of the line VPNs that you should be looking at: ExpressVPN, ProtonVPN, NordVPN, Surfshark, and some of the free ones you would want to consider, there are Tonerbear, Windscribe, and the list is endless. Now, just for summary, a VPN maintains privacy while you tunnel through the internet or while you surf through the internet. Aside extra layer of security, VPNs also mask users' IP address so that their online actions are barely traceable. Now, the traceability is something we can always contest. Like I always say, there is no 100% true anonymity and safety on the internet. But on the surface level, yes, it gives you that anonymity. It gives you extra layer of security and, of course, encryption of your data. As more and more users are open to mobile devices, they are open to smart devices, and they are open to wireless devices such as wireless earbuds, smartwatch, smartphones, smart TVs, smart doors, anything that falls within the domain of being smart is liable or is susceptible to vulnerabilities and is susceptible to cyber threats. So as a company, by now you should be making cyber security policies, and as a person, you should be knowing how to safeguard your anonymity, your security on the internet. Now, for companies, it is obvious that your employees will be bringing devices to the office and connecting to the office Wi-Fi using VPN while using Twitter. Expect an upsurge of those that would be using VPN at your workplace, at those that will be using VPN around your school, around your hostel, around your environment. So you may want to contact your IT professional on setting up policies that revolves around remote access, bringing your own device to work, and so many other things, such as the VPN you recommend as a company for your employees. Your employees will be doing so many things using the company's laptop, using their own phones, and using office-based phones as well. So you may want to set up real policies as to which VPN should they use. Should it be premium or should it be free, and so many other conversations that you as a company manager or as a CEO should be looking into to protect and to encrypt your data and to ensure that your employees do not mismanage information, thinking that they are safe, thinking that it is top of the line 100% security to mess with the internet. Now, aside Twitter, obviously, a lot of your employees are working from home. It is also important to set up security measures while doing remote access, while working over Zoom, Microsoft Teams, thank God for end-to-end encryption, while working over WhatsApp and so many other platforms, setting up security policies, two-factor authentication, end-to-end encryption considered, and what are the remote access options available to each level of employees. According to statistics from Statista.com, the total number of active social media users in Nigeria in 2021 is expected to be at 33 million users. So let us look at how VPN works. VPN takes your IP address, which makes you a Nigerian, or your Nigerian IP address given to you by your internet service provider, and mask it over another location. The internet is not seeing you as you're from Nigeria. Twitter is not seeing you that you're Nigerian. Twitter is seeing you as the location you select on your VPN. So you can select Brazil, you can select the United Kingdom, the United States, and all of that. Now, this is having a negative impact on Twitter adverts, because the essence of running Twitter ads is to target Nigerians. Now, when you're running ads and the ads are not to Nigeria, it means that your ads need to run through another location. So that is so weird, right? Now, this is going to impact businesses whose existence are revolved around running Twitter ads. Now, we're going to talk about companies that have thrived on Twitter. One of the biggest is Big Brother Nigeria. Companies like MTN, the banking sector, the telecommunications sector as well. Now, a lot of Nigerians will be changing their location, means that their businesses won't be able to target actual Nigerians by location. They would have to be intelligent to know which of the major locations Nigerians would trend from. We're going to see new economic activities on Twitter that is built up around these new locations where Nigerians will be chatting from. So you're going to see Nigerians take over trends in UK, take over trends in the US, take over trends in Germany. That makes it so difficult to put that target exactly to where Nigerians are. Adverts will be going to VPN platforms because a lot of Nigerians will be using the free VPN. Only few Nigerians would want to pay for VPN. It's something they are just waking up to. They may not want to see the value of buying premium VPN. So we're going to see VPN companies intensify adverts on their VPN platforms. According to NetBlocks, which tracks internet governance, estimated that each day of the Twitter shutdown would cost Nigeria economy over 2 billion naira. That is equivalent to $6 million. Why are we using this amount of money to prove a point? Why do we call ourselves digital economy? Because new investors are going to see the country in a different light through its digital atmosphere. Now, if you ban Twitter today, you ban Facebook tomorrow, you ban WhatsApp the next tomorrow, businesses that are coming into Nigeria thrive on those platforms. They grow using those platforms. And when they come to Nigeria, it is not just getting to Nigeria, selling their products, and employing Nigerians to work for them. Is not going to be the only thing they will be thinking of. They'll be thinking of what is the ratio of the tax that they will be paying to the amount of sales they'll be making using these digital tools. Also, by social media, we've been able to get real-time data. Now, with social media and some other of this messaging platform, we can get the number of men chatting, the number of women chatting, the average of children on different platforms. So aside the benefits of just being a chat platform, it also offers real-time statistics of how the country is doing in a digital scale, how the growth of the country is with the new population coming to the digital platforms. Now, according to a 2020 survey by the independent African-based research organization Afrobarometer, 35% of Nigerians reported using some social media service to get news at least few times in a week. Men are marginally more likely to use social media than women. So we have 39% men versus 31% women. More young people use it. So we have 46% of 18 to 25 year olds compared to 8% for those over 65%. These are the 8% responsible for banning Twitter in Nigeria. Just 8%, controlling the fate of over 46% of a country. Now, moving over to the weekly access, For Nigerians who live in urban areas, 54% versus 18% from rural areas. We had at least secondary level education, 57% versus 12% with primary education or lower, and the lowest levels of lived poverty, 51% versus 21% for those with the highest levels. Nevertheless, you'll find out that these 25% are those on Twitter trying to sell their products, trying to sell their goods, and trying to sell their services. Now you have forced them to use VPNs, and a lot of Nigerians will be using VPN no matter the cost, no matter what is being taken from them by these VPNs and the implication of the security level or the encryption level of this particular VPN. Now, VPN is to protect you, yes, but when you are using a VPN that takes this much from you, it also opens you to cyber threats, because only few Nigerians can give little bucks to pay for a monthly or yearly subscription using VPN. Just imagine bringing products to Twitter. You are not making more than 6,000 or 7,000 in a month, and you are having to pay for VPN of more than, say, 3,000. That is half of your profit is going to servicing VPN monthly. Let us go back to businesses. Now, we are having a lot of Nigerians that have been marginalized from Twitter. Businesses would no longer see the need to put ads on Twitter. Now, Twitter is to pay taxes, right, in wherever they locate their business. And are we looking at it from the angle that Nigeria wants digital taxes? We know Twitter gains by ads, and Twitter will also be gaining from its new subscription model, which is called the Twitter Blue. Maybe the government is just looking for, okay, these guys are gaining so much, and how much are we gaining in return? We've seen the EU with the G7 trying to set up digital taxes on these big tech companies. And I believe if we have an African Union, we can also set up stricter rules. We can set up specific rules that applies to the African community. Just the way we have GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation, we can have another one that focuses on the African market. Our data, our rights to freedom, our rights to freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and digital taxes as well. And even the conduct of big tech companies in Africa, not just Nigeria. And let's not forget one more thing. The Nigerian government, since inception, has spoken less on national TV. We've seen the Nigerian government send out commiseration messages to other countries through Twitter. We have seen the Nigerian government communicate to its people instead of using the national television, it uses Twitter. We've seen the Minister of Information, the Minister of Communication, and all these government parasitas, rather than going to print media and spending some extra money, they know that a lot of Nigerian youth do not buy the print media anymore, do not buy newspapers and some other of those things. They use Twitter. So does it really make sense for Nigerian government to ban Twitter? How would they communicate a president that talks less? We've seen governors communicate their new positions. We've seen the Oyo State government. We've seen the Ondo State government, Akeredolu, the Oyo State government, Sheyi Makinde. We've even seen El-Rufai make so many comments about their different regions and their different states on Twitter. So they know the advantage of Twitter. We've seen them as well campaign on Twitter. We've seen them pass their own propaganda on Twitter. We've seen them air their own views on Twitter, because they know Nigerians would always read Twitter. So that makes the platform bubbling. That makes the platform ads run smoothly. That makes trend go well. Now, we're going to see a lot of Nigerians creating value around these new locations through IP addresses. And we're going to see a boom in different trends, bringing Nigerians to the spotlight in different places. If you notice, I am just trying to scratch the surface, bringing several conversations and line of thoughts for us to ponder on. I'm still going to do another episode that focuses on setting security policies for your company and ensuring that this new age of digitalization that we've got into, this new age of Nigerians being open to VPN and other practices on the internet, such as changing proxy and using proxy servers, we are definitely staying safe and staying sane. My name is Femi Greaterheight, and I catch you guys in the next one.